John chapter 4. And I want to read tonight, beginning with verse number 3, the story of Jesus witnessing to the woman at the well. All right, now before I read, let's look at the map again so you can be familiar with what we're talking about here. All right, Jesus was in Judea, and in verse number 1 it says he was in Judea, and he was headed up toward Galilee. All right, now to get from Judea to Galilee, often the Jews would go across the Jordan River, go up this side, and then back in, because they didn't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half Jew, half Gentile. Remember, during the captivities, there was two different captivities. One was a 70-year captivity in Babylon. The other one was extended period, long period that really didn't fully, they didn't all fully come back yet, of the northern kingdom that went into Assyria and the uttermost parts of the world. All right, and when the Assyrians came in and conquered them, they took all the people out. Almost all the people out, and then they brought people from other countries that they had captured and brought them down in here and put them in Samaria area to till the land so it didn't turn into a wasteland. Alright? And those people there, they intentionally brought in foreigners in there just so that nobody could revolt, because you had people from over here and over here and over here and over here, and there's all these foreigners. But then they intermarried with the Jews. And when they intermarried with the Jews, they became the Samaritans. And so they were part Jews, but part not Jews. And that irritated the true blue Jews. They didn't like the Samaritans because they were not full-blood Jews. And so Jesus went through Samaria. He stopped at Sychar at Jacob's well. And that's where we're at tonight. Okay? All right. John chapter 4 and verse number 3. He, Jesus, left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. You know, when it says he must needs go through, I think that it's indicating there that he had a reason to go through. So a lot of the Jews would go around if they could, if they had the time. They wouldn't go through Samaria. In verse number 5, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman, now the sixth hour, that was noon, alright, so it was about noon, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And the word meat there refers to any kind of food, not just flesh, but any kind of food. Alright, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and its children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. In that thou saidest truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this his disciples came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come, see, a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto the eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is a great example of Jesus being a witness. And we're going to learn from this some tips of how to approach people with the gospel that I hope will be a help to us tonight. You know, when we're presenting the gospel to an unbeliever, witnessing is just that, to present the gospel, and ought to be our goal. Our goal ought not to be just to be friendly and be nice, but to actually share the gospel with them in one way or another, either in written word or in our spoken word. And in order to do that, we've prepared ourselves thus far by looking at several lessons dealing with knowing, first of all, the gospel message. You need to know what you're going to share, or else you're going to have a hard time sharing it if you don't know what you're talking about. So we need to know the gospel message. We need to have an honorable conduct, both in our physical and social and spiritual lives. We need to be honorable so that we have a right testimony. And then we need to prepare ourselves with the power of God so that we're right with God. We have scriptures in our heart. We've got a plan in our mind, and we're ready to serve the Lord. And God wants us to be in this state of readiness all the time so that we're always ready to be a witness for the Lord. You know, it isn't just when we go out knocking on doors. It isn't just when you see a particular need, but it's all the time we need to be ready so that we can be a witness for the Lord. All the time we should be ready. And so we need to keep this in mind. Now, as we look at this witness that Jesus gave the woman here at the well, I want us to notice some insights from their conversation. First of all, I want us to remember that as we're beginning, we need to pray before and as we go. We need to pray before and as we go. So before we're going to be a witness for the Lord. Now, it's a good thing, and I wish I could say I was a good example of this, that every single day I pray and ask the Lord, give me an opportunity to witness. Truthfully, sometimes I forget. Sometimes I forget. I shouldn't, but I sometimes do. But that ought to be our goal, that each day we daily examine our hearts, make sure our hearts are right with the Lord, and then we ask God to give us opportunities to be a witness for the Lord. And if you'll ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to witness for Him, He'll open doors for us. I've seen it happen many, many times where God will open doors for us in unusual ways sometimes to be a witness. And then we need to pray for courage and boldness, that the Lord would just give us the right wisdom to say the right things and have the boldness to say it. You know, many times, I think most of us here tonight, in our natural sense, are somewhat timid. Now, we may not hide when somebody says hi to us, but maybe not that timid, but we're timid in the sense that we aren't, most people aren't the kind that just can walk up to a total stranger and say, hi, how you doing? You know, how you doing today? And, you know, they've never seen him before in their life. Now, some people got that talent. Some people, it's more of a personality type thing. Some people can do that. Most of us don't. Alright? And that means we're gonna have to work at it. That means we're gonna have to strive for it. We're gonna have to pray, God, please give me courage, give me wisdom, give me the right words to say so that I can be a testimony. You know, that's, even you young people, when you're around your friends, you need to be a witness for the Lord. It thrilled my heart this morning on the way home. Well, actually, it was last Sunday that it brought up the subject. We had a new teenage girl that came last Sunday morning, and some of you may have noticed. Her name was Renee. She sat down here in front, and she came a little early, and I introduced her to Annett. And Annett was about her age, and Annett sat down there and chatted with her. And within a few moments, while they're sitting there before church started, Annett asked her if she was a Christian, and if she'd been saved. And the girl didn't give her a very clear answer, so Anna pulled out one of our tracts, one of these. She pulled out one of these tracts and says, you need to read this. It'll really help you. And so the girl's sitting there before church, she's reading this tract because Anna gave it to her. I was so pleased to think that Anna would do that. And on the way home, we were talking to her. I thanked her for being a good testimony for the Lord like that. And she says, yeah. She says, a lot of people don't listen to it. You know, they don't all accept it. She says, I tell some of my friends about the Lord and they don't want to hear about it, but I just, you know, said, well, you need to read this paper. This will help you. And but that's what we need to be. We need to step out and be a little bit bold, whether we're young people or whether we're adults. That's not the point. We need to be bold for the Lord, but we need God's help. So we need to pray. And we need to pray in our heart as we begin and depend upon the Lord. Notice verse number 4 here. It says that Jesus said that he must needs go through Samaria. All right, now Jesus was God and he knew all things. But you know, there's almost the sense in which we can see here that in our situation, if we turned it around and it was me, I'd probably say, well, I'd rather walk around Samaria. I don't really want to go through Samaria unless God said, no, I want you to go through Samaria. So it's as if he had prayed and said, you know, should I go around or should I go up through? And the guidance was go up through. There's a reason to go through. And I realized Jesus was in a different situation there, but I can see that there's a need for asking God for direction. And then we need to pray in our heart as we begin. You know, you begin to talk to somebody, and especially just before you open your mouth, you need to be saying, Lord, help me. Help me to say the right thing. Help me to say and give me the boldness I need. Because Satan's right there ready to say, don't open your mouth. Don't, you'll make yourself look stupid. They're going to think you're crazy. Don't open your mouth. And we need to just ignore him and do what God wants us to do and ask him for boldness to be able to be the witness we ought to be. And so we need to speak out for the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to open that person's heart. You know, prayer is from a clean heart. It's like the handle that opens the faucet of God's power. Alright, you know, you put your hand on that handle and you turn that handle and the water starts pouring out because you've turned the faucet. It's like the faucet of God's power is just that. It's prayer from a clean heart. We're praying to God and say, God, would you please give me your power? And it opens up the power of God. We need God's power in our lives. Now, so this is all in the preparation as we're getting ready to say something for the Lord. Now, we need to also make an opening for the gospel. That's the next point we need to note here. We need to make an opening for the gospel. Jesus did that. Alright? Jesus is sitting there by the well. It's noontime. And from my understanding, most of the people would get their water earlier in the day. And it may be that this woman came at noontime because there wouldn't be anybody around there because she wasn't the best woman in town. Alright? She had a bad reputation. She'd been married 5 times. She's now living with another guy. She's a pretty loose woman. All right? And so she probably had a bad reputation. And maybe that's why she came at noon to get her water. I don't know. But Jesus is sitting there. And it wasn't customary for them to talk to a strange woman, especially not a Samaritan. But Jesus opened up an opportunity. He said, "Could I please have a drink?" And she goes, "You, a Jew, a man, asking me for a drink of water?" And it opened up a conversation. Jesus began to talk. And we just read that, so we saw what had happened there. But Jesus opened up. He was friendly. He was kind. He was nice to her. And he opened up the opportunity to talk. And you know, one of the things that will help when we're trying to open up an opportunity to talk to someone is if you will be friendly, talk to them like you're a friend. You know, you ever talk to somebody that, well, let's just put it in a different light. I remember back in school when we were in speech class. Some kids would get up there in speech class and they were just terrified out of their wits. You know, their knuckles are turning white because they're just scared to death. And they're stammering and stuttering and trying hard. And in your seat, you're feeling so sorry for them. You're saying, "Oh, the poor person." But, you know, the next person that gets up there and stays relaxed and just as relaxed and has a smile on their face and may say the same kind of things as the previous one did, but your whole being relaxes around them. Isn't that right? So when you're around a person that's tense and uptight and stammering and acting like they're scared out of their wits, then they feel sorry for you and they feel tense as well. But if you can relax and just act like you're a friend, then they'll relax as you get to know a person. Now, I realize it's a bit hard when there's a total stranger. Sometimes people don't even appreciate someone being friendly. You know, you walk down the footpath and in the morning on our walks, and sometimes you'll see somebody, even children. Now, maybe the parents teach them not to be sociable, but you walk past them, "Good morning." They just like, "I didn't hear a word." And just walk right past like stone faced. You know, they just totally ignore you. Now, some people are like that because they just don't want to be sociable. But, you know, a lot of times you can open up somebody's heart by just being friendly and showing yourself friendly. And Jesus was doing that, talking to her. And he turned the conversation quickly to the gospel. Verse number 10, Jesus talked to her about this drink that he was going to give her. And she immediately says, "Whoa, who are you? I mean, this well is deep. You don't even have a bucket to draw with. How are you going to give me water?" And so Jesus immediately has the subject opened up so he can start talking about this living water that he's going to give. And she says, "Living water? What are you talking about? If you got living water so I don't have to keep drawing out of this, I'm tired of drawing that. That's hard work to draw that bucket up." I mean, that well was deep, real deep, like hundreds of feet deep. And so she had put that bucket on the, apparently tie her own. You know, I often wondered about that. She said, "You don't have anything to draw with." So evidently it was their custom that you come and brought your bucket, tied the rope to it and let it down, let your bucket down into the water and draw your bucket back up with a crank or pull it up. However, they had a crank. I don't know. But I mean, they draw your own bucket up, unhook your bucket and take it home. And she said, "You don't even have a bucket. How are you going to draw anything water out of here?" But Jesus opened it up and was able to talk to her. And, you know, we need to look for opportunities like this to open things up. This is probably the biggest challenge to witnessing. The biggest challenge to witnessing is the opener. To be able to say the first few words to get the subject opened up so you can talk to them. And, you know, maybe you're, you know, sitting on a bus or an airplane or something like that, and the guy next year or the lady next year, whatever, and you're trying to think, "Now, Lord, help me figure out something to say to open up this topic." You know, but sometimes it's just easy enough to just say, you know, "It's a pleasant ride today," or, you know, "It's nice outside today," and just get them to say something, and then you can say, you know, "Where are you from? What do you do?" Or, I'm on my way to so-and-so, you know, and I've got this is what I'm headed out to do today. What are you doing today? And just chat with it. But open something up to get the conversation. And then as soon as possible, say something that will turn it towards spiritual things. That's the trickiest part. And you might ask them, you know, if one of the things that I do, and I'm certainly not holding myself up as the greatest example of this, but here's some of the things that I do that sometimes help. I'll often ask the people, "Do you go anywhere to church?" And that opens it up. Sometimes they'll say, church, no way, I don't believe in God. Or I don't do that stuff. Or they might say, oh yeah, once in a while I go to church, you know, on Christmas and Easter I'll go down to St. So-and-so's church, you know. But you've got the subject open. Then you can start saying, well, I go to the Northside Baptist Church and, you know, and you've got it opened up. You've cracked the door a little bit so you can get in there and start talking. So that's one opportunity. Just another thing is sometimes I'll take a track out of my pocket and I'll just say, you know, here's a little paper that is from the Northside Baptist Church where I attend. And it just tells you how you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven. Would you have a read of it? Just something like that. It'll help to open it up. And, you know, so often they'll take it. And then there's times when they'll say, no, I'm not interested. All right. But either way, we need to look for those kind of opportunities. And another thing you can do is maybe excitedly tell them about something you've just learned in your Bible reading or something you just learned at church. You say, you know, I was just reading. And I said, you know, you could say, well, I don't know whether you ever read the Bible or not, but I've been reading the Bible and I read some really neat stuff today in my Bible reading. And it was talking about this and this and this and this. And another opportunity to maybe open it up. Some people might turn it right off and say, no, I'm not interested in talking to you. And they'll just be quiet and won't say anything. But that's another opportunity. Look for things. Be creative. Trying to find ways of opening it up. You might share your testimony of how you came to know the Lord. And, you know, especially if they've talked that they're a little bit spiritual, maybe they say, yeah, I go down to St. So-and-so's church every Christmas and Easter. And you might say, you know, a few years ago, I came to know the Lord in a new way, in a personal way. And just start telling them about how you came to know the Lord. And, you know, that'll open up an opportunity for you. If it's family or friends that you're trying to witness to, that sometimes is a little harder. I find the hardest people to witness to are the people that you know the best. They're the hardest ones because it's hard to get the subject onto that, you know, get it turned over there. Sometimes with them, you need to just flat out say, you know, I've been burdened about talking to you to make sure that you're 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. You know, Uncle Joe, you know, I've been praying for you. And, you know, are you positive, Uncle Joe, that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Sometimes you just got to be kind of blunt, but kind and gentle about it and just jump in and ask them a point blank question like that to try to get it going. And they may try to shut you down, but at least you've opened the door. All right. Now that's when you're just trying to meet someone that's maybe at the store or, you know, if you're in the shops or at the bank, you know, because I bank every Monday with the church finances, I've gotten to know the ladies in the bank. A lot of the ladies, I know them by name and they know me by name. And I walk in, they say, good morning, Scott. And I say, good morning. And I greet them. And I'll invite them. You know, just, I often hand them a tract. Some of them say, oh yeah, you've given us several of those already. I said, okay. But others will take it gladly. And leaving them an invitation to come to church and just talk to them about the Lord. Try to just open up something to say to them and be kind to them. But, you know, other times I'll just talk about the weather or talk about, you know, this and that just to be friendly, to build bridges. But look for opportunities. But if you're going out door knocking, all right, and sometimes door knocking seems intimidating, like, ooh, this is super scary. I'm knocking on somebody's door and I don't even know who it is. But, you know, I don't know what some of these others that have gone out with me doing that feel, but I personally feel like it's less intimidating to knock on somebody's door that I don't know who's behind the door than to walk up to somebody that I do know. I find it easier to just walk up to a door, don't have any clue as to who's behind the door, and just knock on the door, and here they come to the door. And usually what I'll say is just, hi, I'm from the Northside Baptist Church, and I'm just passing out a little paper today that tells how you can know for positive that you're going to heaven. And as I thought about that, as I was preparing for the lesson tonight, one of the things that I'm going to try saying that I think would probably be a little bit better is to say something like, you know, God loves you and wants you to go to heaven. Here's a little paper that shows you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. I think that might be a little bit more positive to let them know that God loves them and cares about them. And it's not, I'm cramming my religion down your throat. God loves you and wants you to go to heaven. That's pretty positive. And it's true. And it's helpful. So, but you be creative. I mean, I've tried all kinds of things. Sometimes I'll say, you know, I'm just passing out a paper about heaven. Sometimes I'll say, you know, this is just an invitation from the Northside Baptist Church. I've tried all kinds of things just to get them to take it. A lot of people won't even take it, but when they do, but I think it's probably good to open up something that is going to be able to get them to respond. And if they reject it, all right, our natural inclination is to, oh, they've rejected me. They've hit me in the face. Oh, they didn't want it. And we go away feeling beaten up. We need to remember this. They didn't reject you. They don't even know you. They rejected God, who they don't want to know. That's the important thing to remember. If they turn down a gospel tract because you invited them to church or you told them about Jesus, it's not because they don't like you. It's because they don't want to know God. And remember that. And walk away being thankful. Remember what the early apostles did when they were beaten and rebuked for preaching the gospel? They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. Now, we may not get beaten and whipped, but if somebody attacks us with their tongue because we told them about Jesus, then we need to count it all joy and rejoice to think that we were worthy to be beaten up for Jesus with their tongue. See, it's not, don't take it personal. And I admit, there's been times I've taken it personal. I have. You know, especially if somebody really attacks you. There was one time here in Quinn's Rocks, I knocked on the door, I was with another man. Knocked on the door, and the guy came out through the garage. So I stepped out and went around to the garage and said, "Hi, I'm from the Northside Baptist Church." And he just went berserk, swearing and cursing and yelling and screaming at me. Really loud. I mean, really loud. Loud enough you could hear him three streets down. And just yelling and swearing at me, "Get off my property, you blankety blank blank." I mean, just swearing, cursing, and calling me every rotten name he could think of. Well, I said I was just passing all the paper from the Northside Baptist Church. Well, obviously he hated the Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody, and he was just went berserk. And I walked down the street, and you know, after that I felt like, oh man, he beat me up, man. I'm scared to knock on the next door. I walked on the next door like, yeah, I was scared. Why? Because I took it personally. Well, he didn't hate me. He didn't even know who I was. He hated God. All right? And we need to remember that. And it's humiliating, and it hurts our ego when that happens, and it hurts our courage too. But remember, they're not against you; they're against God. All right. But when they accept, and they accept the tract, you know, they take it from your hand. So here's the typical response: you knock on the door, you hand them a tract, and if they take it, you know, I'll usually hand it out like this. And if they reach out and take it, sometimes they'll take it like this as they're shutting the door. And they walk off because they don't want to say anything. They just take your paper, get out of here. I'll throw it away when you leave. All right. That's one of the responses. Other times they'll take it and then they'll just stand there and, you know, not even look at it, but just hold it in their hand or give it to their little kid to play with. And while you say the rest of whatever you're going to say. Other times they'll take it and actually look at it and they'll start thumbing through it. That's a clue. All right. That's a clue that you need to keep talking. And I usually say, you know, start asking them questions. You know, are you sure you're going to heaven? Sometimes they'll say, well, I hope so. That's a pretty typical response. I hope so. Or they might say, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. And when somebody tells me, yes, they're going to heaven, I don't jump up and down and rejoice and say, praise God, I'm glad we meet somebody that's going to heaven. I don't do that because most of the time, they're really not. They think they are or they hope they are. Because then I ask them the next question. Well, what do you base your hope of heaven on? Oh, I'm a good person. I help the little lady next door. I go to church on Christmas and Easter. Say my prayers. Try to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm a good person. That's usually their answer if they say, yes, I'm going to heaven. Now, occasionally you'll meet somebody that has a genuine testimony of salvation. And that's great when you do. And when that happens, usually what I'll do is I don't spend a lot of time, unless they're chatty and want to talk, but I usually don't spend a lot of time. If I feel like they truly know the Lord as their Savior, and occasionally you meet them, I'll just say, well, thank you for your time. And take one of our little papers here and, you know, give it to a friend, or maybe, you know, we have evening services. A lot of churches don't have an evening service. Come on, I'll see us in one of the evening services. Something like that. If they say they're a Christian, they ought to go to church. But just be real nice and thank them for it. But then some people say, no, nobody can know for sure they're going to heaven. Or there's another wide open opportunity. Nobody can know for sure. Well, the Bible says that you can know for sure. Did you know that? Did you know that if the Bible actually says that you can know for sure you're going to heaven? And then you just open up and start talking to them about the Bible and give them the gospel. John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not be come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He says, you can have it and know for sure you have it. And, you know, some people will just kind of like, oh yeah, well, good for you, but not for me. But other people, that'll spark their attention, and you can see they're starting to listen, and the gears are starting to turn, and then you just have an open door for continuing to talk to them. And if they say no, that they don't believe that they're going to heaven, then there's another opportunity. Would you like to know for sure? I'd like to show you if I could. And just so these are just some ideas of how to get it open. This is the thing that I find the most difficult is to get the opening, to get their conversation open. Sometimes I'll use other questions, and I'm not sure these are quite as good, but sometimes you just have to use your imagination, and depending on the situation. You know, sometimes I'll ask them, have you thought about where you're going to spend eternity? Have you thought about where you're going to go when you die? The typical response is, no. Or sometimes people say, yeah, I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the ground. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. All right? And that's a typical response from people. But then you got a chance to, again, you can start talking to them about what the Bible says. So it's good to know verses in your mind of how to counter these things. And how, you know, when somebody says, yeah, when I die, I'm dead. That's the end of the story. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, for a Christian, you can just tell them, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 8, for a Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we die, we're going to be with the Lord. We're not going to just die and go to the grave. And God made you different. You're different than all the animals. You have a spirit and a soul. The animals don't have that. God made you in His image. And you've got an opportunity to have a relationship with God. So you're not like the dog. When the dog dies, he's dead. But you're not like that. You've got a soul that's going to live somewhere forever. And anybody says, oh, I don't believe that. Well, some people are pretty stubborn. But you can continue to talk. So you got an open door. So again, we're looking more at opening the door right now. Now, another thing I use sometimes that it seems to help is to ask them, do you go to church? And sometimes they'll say, no, never gone to church. I'll say, you never ever gone to church? Usually they say, oh yeah, I've been to a funeral or I've been to a wedding or something. Or I went when I was a kid. And one thing that's really sad, but it often happens, they'll say, yeah, I went when I was a kid. I went to Sunday school all the time. They just really turned me off because I got forced to go to Sunday school and, you know, they didn't have any answers for me. And so I just turned me off. But then you've got an open door. Start talking to them and try to give them the gospel. Work the gospel in there. And so you might even ask them, do they believe in God or do you believe in the Bible? When you meet a person that says, no, I do not believe in God and I do not believe in the Bible, usually you hit a dead end street. Pretty hard when a person doesn't believe the Bible or believe in God. But I still try. And, you know, I'll usually try to turn it to evolution or something like that. Because you can say, well, where do you think we came from if you don't believe in God? Oh, yeah, we evolved from the slime of the pond. I said, will you ever think about that? Does that make sense? I mean, nothing else evolves. I mean, if I took my watch and took all the parts of my watch off and threw them in a bucket and I shook it up for 1,000 or 1,000,000,000 years, would it turn into a watch? No. I said, well, then how can you possibly think that all of the things in the world just accidentally happened, no matter how many billions of years you give it? It can't. It doesn't make sense. It has to have a designer. And if there's a designer, that designer must be someone like God. I've had some people say, well, never thought about that. But try, just look for opportunities. So you just got to use your imagination to figure out ways of turning it to the gospel. Now, keep on the subject. Did you notice what this woman did to Jesus? What did she do when he finally pointed out her sin? He said, go call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus, because he knows all things, he said, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had 5 husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. You're living in adultery. She goes, and what did she do? She changes the subject. She says, our fathers, or let me see this, what verse is it? She says, our fathers worshipped. Now, verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. What's she doing? She's trying to change the subject. Let's get off of this sin stuff. I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. Let's talk about where we're supposed to worship. Anything's better than talking about my sin. All right? But what we need to do is keep it back on the subject. say, you know, well, listen, we can answer that question in a few minutes, but right now, let me tell you what Jesus did to save you. Let me tell you what Jesus did to help you and to rescue you from your sin and the punishment of your sin. Get them back in the gospel. Just keep it, turn them back in toward the gospel to keep them on the right subject. And it'll help you. So work your way through the gospel. Remember, talk about God's how God loves them, and yet that He is holy and He can't tolerate our sin. We're all sinners. Sin must be punished. We're helpless to fix our own sin, and that Christ's payment for our sin paid the debt for us if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. So you get the gospel in there, work through the gospel with them, try to show them that, and make sure they understand that they can't fix their problem themselves. So you're working on that, and they will try to change the subject, they'll try to get off of that, but just be polite and keep it back on the subject. And then attempt to go through the whole gospel message with them. And Jesus continued talking with her, and she brings up the Messiah, and what did Jesus say? This is one of the few places in the New Testament where Jesus very clearly said, I am the Messiah. Right? But He just point blank told her, I'm He. And she goes, wow, no wonder you knew who I was. Right? And it convicted her heart, brought her to repentance, and she put her trust in the Lord. And it, you know, when we show a person what the Bible says about sin, point them to Jesus, point them to the fact that Jesus died to pay the debt of our sin, to give us eternal life. And if we'll put our trust in Him, we can have eternal life and be washed clean, and go through that with them and help them to see that. And as you're witnessing to them, one of the hardest things is to discern whether God is actually working in their heart. And it's not absolutely necessary that we know, but it is helpful if we can see that that God is working in their heart. I've been with some people when I was out witnessing years ago when I was in Bible college. I remember this one day, this young, my friend and I were out witnessing to this one person that we met door to door, and he went through the whole gospel plan of salvation with them, and I could tell this person he was talking to was not the least bit interested. I mean, they're just kind of looking around, wasn't paying attention to what he's saying, but he's going through it, and I'm, you know, glad he went through the gospel with him. But when he got down to the end, he tried to see if they wanted to trust Christ their Savior, and I'm thinking, they haven't even been listening to you, let alone convicted. That's not touched their heart. So you got to be discerning. Are they catching it? Is God working in their heart? Now, some of the ways you can tell is by their reaction. It may be their earnestness. Some people may get real sober and start listening real carefully. They may ask questions. They may even occasionally, not too often, but occasionally you may see a tear run down their cheek like, oh boy, this is really convicting my heart. And, you know, you can see that God is working in their heart. And when that happens, then we need to try to urge them to come to Christ. Now, they've got to make the choice. They got to make the choice. We can't twist their arm. They've got to be ready to repent and turn to Christ. If they're not ready to repent and turn to Christ, they can't be saved until they're ready to turn to Christ. They've got to make that choice. You can't force them to repent. You can't force them to turn to Christ and be saved. You can't force them to believe. We can explain the gospel to them, but sometimes if we can sense that they're just not, they just don't understand. They're not convicted. They're not ready to repent. They're not ready to humble themselves before the Lord. Sometimes it's best to just say, well, you know, I've explained all this to you. How about if you just take this little paper. I'll give you another one here, a different kind. And take this and read it. Think about it. And how about if I come back next week about the same time and talk with you again? Would that be okay? And if they're somewhat interested, they'll usually agree. If they're not the least bit interested, they'll say, well, I don't know. No, I don't think so. All right. But you give them an opportunity to think on it. But if they truly are ready to trust Christ, then just explain how they need to call on the Lord to be saved. The Bible says that we need to call on Him to be saved. Now, the calling on the Lord doesn't necessarily mean an audible prayer, but it has to be a communication with God. We can communicate with God from our heart, or we can communicate with God from our lips that come from our heart. But either way, they need to ask the Lord. God doesn't give salvation to someone just because they read a couple of verses. It's because they have asked for God's salvation. Remember, He says in John 1:12, but as many as receive Him, receiving is an action. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. So there has to be a reception. And we can encourage them to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if they cannot express their guilt and repentance and faith in Christ to God themselves, it's likely that they're not ready to be saved. And I know over the years, there's times that I have presented, even at the end of a sermon, on occasions, where I've said, listen, if you truly are convicted of your sin and you want to trust Christ your Savior, if you'll just ask the Lord something like this and give him a sample and say, if you'll do this right now, you can be saved. I don't know that there's necessarily anything evil about that, but if they can't express themselves to God over their sin, they're not very convicted about their sin. They ought to be able to say, I am in trouble. And God, you're my only hope. You don't have to put it in some fancy words, but if they just came to God and said, God, I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. And I believe Jesus died for me. Please forgive me and give me eternal life. That's what salvation is all about. If they're not able to do that, something's missing. Something's lacking. So anyway, these are some ideas that hopefully can help you to be a witness for Christ. And you know, you may trip and stumble and trip over your own tongue a few times. Don't give up just because you made a blunder of it. Just pray that God will help you the next time to do a better job and learn from your mistakes and keep on going. You know, the thing of it is this. God can use even a weak effort for His glory. But God cannot use silence. God can use your weak effort, but He can't use your silence. If you say nothing, you've not accomplished anything. But if you open your mouth, even if you blunder it up a little bit, God can use that. If you've got a right heart and you're trying to witness to them and you're trying, God can use that. So let's try and get going and work at it. And it's just like anything else. The first time you do something, you'll trip and fall and stumble and blunder around a little bit and feel kind of awkward. But keep doing it. Keep doing it. It'll get easier as you do it. And God will give you strength and grace if you'll pursue and determine to do that. Now, I brought a whole stack of tracts. If you need some tracts, there's tracts here. You can take as many as you want of these. You can pass them out in the neighborhood. There's nothing wrong with putting them in letterboxes. That's perfectly fine. But I find that it's far better to hand it to somebody, because if you handed it to them and they took it, at least they've got absolutely no excuse. It's in their hand. They didn't just gather it up with all the junk mail and throw it in the bin. They actually had it in their hand. They know what it was. And if they throw it down, then they've turned their back on God's greatest gift. So it's good to hand it to them. And you can use them on the bus, you can use them on the train, you can use them in town, you can use them at the store. You can go door to door in your neighborhood, just knock on doors and just tell them. One of the things that I always do is one of the first things I say when I knock on the door is, "Hi, I'm from the Northside Baptist Church." The reason I do that is because who are they going to think is knocking on their door? 99% of the time it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. All right? And so that's the first thing I tell them. I'm from the Northside Baptist Church. So if they hate God, they'll slam the door at me right then. But if they're, a lot of times they'll go, "Oh, okay." I've had people actually look like, "Oh boy, here it comes." And I tell them Northside Baptist Church. Oh, they get a smile on their face. Like, "Oh, you're not the cult. Okay." And so that's why I always do that. So that's a good thing to remember. But be courageous. Keep track of where you go. Write down where you've been. And if you have anybody that shows a little bit of interest, write down their address. And if you get their name, write down their name. And go back in a week or two and see them again. See if you can talk to them again. Go for it. God will bless you. God blesses even the weakest efforts. But He won't bless our silence.